This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickerman. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent expects the trade deal with China will be finalized before Thanksgiving. While on Fox News on Sunday, Bessent said he is confident that China will honor the framework agreement.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says China's pledge to resume large-scale U.S. soybean purchases is welcome news, but he warns farmers are still facing major losses and need stronger domestic market support.
It's very good that China will begin purchasing soybeans again. Now, while the administration has made that step forward, the administration and Congress can take steps now to provide farmers with diverse and stable domestic markets. I appreciate the president opening up markets for American soybeans, but I want to inform everybody that advises the president in the White House or from the Secretary of Agriculture that farmers are still losing at least a dollar and a half on every bushel of corn.
Asked about China's reliability, Grassley said the U.S. has little choice but to take Beijing at its word on future soybean commitments.
Just the word of the Chinese, and I know maybe that's not a very strong way to make a decision to answer your question, but I don't know what else we can do. They said they're going to buy 27 million metric tons each year for the next 3 years, and that's just slightly below what they bought before the pandemic, and that's quite a victory. If they don't carry it out, and I've raised the same questions you're raising, the unpredictable of the Chinese, but just now we have to take them at their word, and if they don't live up to it, we expect President Trump to take contrary action.
Grain markets are trading higher across the board today. Van Aun and Company's Christy Van Aun says the markets are up on news that came after the close last Friday from President Trump regarding the Chinese trade deal.
You know, you had that negative trade action here on Friday, and, you know, to be honest, like the corn and wheat, I mean, the charts did not look good at all. After the close on Friday, President Trump said that China is going to come buy our soybeans probably in the spring time frame. I get very nervous about China upholding this purchase agreement, right? It initially had to be by the end of the year. That made sense because there was rumors there were 9 to 10 million metric tons short of what they needed, and that would get them there before Brazil's crop. Now you're saying they're going to buy during the time frame that they get beans from Brazil. So I don't know, but it's enough to bring the market back to life, and that's what we want to see. And so you do have that support showing up into these markets. I'm just very cautious at this point.
President Trump rolling out new tariff cuts and trade agreements aimed at lowering high food prices. The administration says the new framework deals with Argentina, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Ecuador will reduce tariffs and other barriers on imports like beef, bananas, and coffee in an effort to ease grocery costs that have stayed elevated.
During an appearance on Fox Business, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins placed the blame for low cattle supplies on the Biden administration.
We are suffering from the last administration's literal war on cattle. If you remember, they wanted to reduce the herd sizes because they believed that cattle caused climate change. I mean, that wasn't that long ago that was sort of a common narrative. So lots and lots of issues there as we rebuild the herd based on the devastation of the last administration's policy.
Rollins also blamed high beef prices on the drought, the closure of the U.S. border to Mexican beef, and strong protein demand. The USDA leader said the Trump administration has a plan in place to address consumer beef prices.
We are moving toward opening up 5 million acres of grazing land. We're obviously at some point soon going to be reopening the borders. We've got screwworm under control south of the border. Still a couple more things before we get there, but we're getting close. And the president is hyper focused on this. So our numbers and our formulas are showing that prices will start coming down as soon as next spring and certainly by summer and fall of next year.
Clouds will increase this afternoon with a partly to mostly cloudy sky. Highs will reach the upper 30s near the border to the mid-40s through most of the region, but easterly winds up to 30 miles per hour will make it feel cooler. A low pressure system moving in late tonight into early tomorrow, bringing light rain and a wintry mix to areas in the southern part of the region. Amounts are expected to remain under a quarter inch. Another low pressure system brings a chance of scattered showers from Wednesday into Thursday. Some areas will see rain while others stay dry, with totals again around a quarter of an inch by midday Thursday. Temps remaining mild midweek with lows in the low 30s. Highs will be in the low 40s under mostly cloudy skies.
World Weather Incorporated reports that beneficial rain moved across key crop regions of Brazil over the weekend, improving soil moisture from parts of central to southeastern production areas and into neighboring regions, with some locations receiving more than 2 inches. Rainfall will become more active across northern Brazil this week, supporting aggressive soybean planting as producers work to avoid further delays to safrinha corn. In Argentina, widespread weekend rain slowed field work, but improved soil moisture in many previously dry western areas. Totals commonly ranged from around a tenth of an inch to nearly 2 inches. Some western and central areas will continue to need additional moisture soon as subsoil levels remain short heading into late November.
Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern shareholders have approved their merger. The new rail entity will control 40-45% of the U.S. freight rail traffic. A surface transportation board decision on the merger is expected to be made in 2027.
The U.S. Dairy Export Council and the National Milk Producers Federation are praising new U.S. trade frameworks with Argentina, Ecuador, El Salvador, and Guatemala. The agreements provide protection against non-tariff barriers and promise improved access to key markets. NMPF President Greg Dowd says the deals with Guatemala and El Salvador will help exporters take full advantage of the first duty-free year of dairy trade under the CAFTA-DR agreement. Last year, U.S. dairy exports totaled $127 million to Guatemala and $50 million to El Salvador, while sales to Ecuador and Argentina were $6 million and $3 million, respectively. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota Senator and Senate Ag Appropriations Committee Chair John Hoeven continues to work for farmers by securing funding legislation that will help support rural communities into next year.
What we did is we updated ARC and PLC reference prices. That alone is a difference of $500 million a year just for North Dakota farmers, let alone others across the country. So that needed to be done. That was a huge step. But, of course, that's for the 25 crop year, which is typically marketed next year. So we got to bridge over to that year. The other thing we did is crop insurance. My farmer bill was incorporated into the One Big Beautiful Bill, and that actually increases the assistance we provide for buying higher levels of crop insurance, both at the enterprise level, so at your farm level, but also the supplemental coverage option. That will help our guys insure up to a higher level. So those two things are key.
Hoeven hosting a roundtable discussion at NDSU in Fargo Friday, speaking with ag leaders and farmers about appropriations provisions the senators secured in the CR bill that reopened the government.
And we also extended the other provisions of the farm bill. That's part of us now building that bridge to get our guys to next year, because they're really up against it with these low prices. And that's why we're working on some additional assistance, why we're working very hard with USTR and the administration, Department of Ag, to get sales going as rapidly as we can, opening up foreign markets, getting year-round E15, which will help, obviously, our corn guys, getting the provisions in place on biofuels. All those things together are really important to help our farmers, and particularly our farmers right now. Obviously, our ranchers are doing better. We need to keep working on markets for them as well.
After Friday's Ag Roundtable event, North Dakota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Brenda Elmer had plenty of praise for Senator Hoeven's work helping North Dakota farmers.
The shutdown has been on farmers' minds quite a bit, and just that uncertainty in addition to the economic situations that they're in with market development and so forth has been stressful. You know, farmers have been busy in the fields, keeping their minds off that a little bit. But, you know, we really were able to talk about some of those great things that were included in that appropriations bill this week. The research that Senator Hoeven has worked so hard to establish here at NDSU, but also with the Policy Center, with Dr. Sandra Steinbach and his team. They just do some phenomenal work.
Elmer also praised the reopening of FSA offices along with the government.
The local county offices, FSA offices being opened back up, those employees that do all that great work, just getting that back pay and working, you know, at the grassroots level with our farmers. So it's back to business, and we're very thankful for Senator Hoeven and the rest of our congressional delegation for all their work on this.
Soybean harvest is all wrapped up in the region. North Dakota Soybean Growers Association President Justin Sherlock shares a quick recap of soybean harvest across the state.
Most soybean producers I talk to are finished. You know, a lot of crops wrapping up, finishing up this week, maybe next week. So yeah, things are coming along. The soybean crop wasn't as good as we hoped in a lot of areas in the state. We're hearing a lot of yield drag. That September frost did a lot more damage than we thought, combined with the wind storms. And it's just been a tough year. So we'll sort through. You know, we'll see what the average yield is coming out of some of the reports in the near future. But you know, that just hurts soybean farmers too, though. You know, you had a light crop to begin with, a lower yields, and then you throw the low price on and the challenges. So we'll work through it. We'll find a way.
Sherlock says storage has been less of an issue than was expected earlier in the year.
So, you know, surprisingly, this summer we thought the issue was going to be that there would be elevators wouldn't be able to take beans because there'd be too many beans coming to town. We almost saw the opposite, at least in my area of the state, where farmers found storage. Maybe they sold more corn or they made other arrangements. So a lot of farmers did put soybeans in the bin. They have yet to market them. So that means it's going to be a little bit different marketing year for a lot of our producers. They're going to be selling soybeans a lot later than usual. But a lot of those soybeans did find some storage. So we're going to see how that plays into the marketplace. So there's a lot of beans that have yet to come to market and be sold. So that could drag the price down for next year, but we're going to monitor that.
According to analysis from Agricultural Economic Insights, cash rental rates were higher year over year in North Dakota, Minnesota, and South Dakota. The I states of Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana saw rents adjust slightly lower from 2024 to 2025. Cash rents are up 15 to 30% higher than 5 years ago. However, there are pockets in North Dakota where individual counties saw rents more than 30% higher than 5 years ago. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Members of the U.S. Meat Export Federation gathering in Indianapolis for the group's annual strategic planning conference, and they elected Jay Tyler as the organization's new chair. Tyler is Executive Vice President for Corporate Affairs for the Agribeef Company based in Boise, Idaho. He laid out his priorities for the Red Meat Export Organization for the coming year.
We're going to need to continue to differentiate our product. We are the gold standard for products when you look at beef, pork, and lamb around the world. This product is highly sought after. USMEF is really great at marketing. And so making sure that we continue to market the differentiation and really focus on what makes these products so good and continue to drive demand is really going to be one of the key focuses.
Tyler says another key is to continue building foreign markets.
These are markets like Japan, Korea, Mexico, where we've had longstanding partnerships, where the business has been very developed. There may be some question about our reliability as a supplier with a lot of the political things going on. We want to make sure that those customers that we've worked with for years and years know how important they are to us and how important those relationships are to us and our business. So we can't replace China, but we can build our future business in markets that are now developing. So those would be markets like in the African continent or South America, Latin America, Southeast Asia. So these markets are developing, and we need to diversify into those markets and start building our future business.
Friday is the deadline for livestock producers to apply for assistance through the Emergency Livestock Relief Program for 2023 and 2024 flood and wildfire losses. Due to the government shutdown, the Farm Service Agency said livestock and dairy farmers may not have had the opportunity to submit applications previously for assistance. Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis, 9.25 higher at 574. Chicago December wheat's 16.75 higher to 543.75. KC December hard red winter wheat's 13.75 higher at 529 even. December corn 5.75 up to 436 even. March corn's a nickel higher at 449. July corn 3.5 higher, 461.75. January soybeans up a whopping 33 cents to 1157.5. March soybeans 28 higher. May soybeans up 24 cents. January canola's $9 per metric ton higher to 656.50 Canadian. On the cattle side, a lot of green numbers there as well. December live cattle up 235 to 221.52. November feeders up $1.57 to 340.25. January feeders up $6. December hogs down 5 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.